Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. Yes, we do have a story, a wonderful story. A story of beginning, creation. A story of God Himself as Creator through Christ. And a story of salvation, God giving Christ. A story of promise. A story of warning. Yes, the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. For darkness to turn to dawning, there must be darkness recognized first. And there is darkness today. Pray for the dawning. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name. We pray that there will be, again, a dawning given, as it was different times already in the Old Testament, with Hezekiah, with Josiah, David, a dawning in his own life, when he could say, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Renew a right spirit within me." And then he could also say, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." We pray that we might have that with him individually. We might have it collectively in the church, that the church will be made one in its knowledge of sin, in the way of repentance, in the way of faith, in the way of obedience, the way of love, and the way as we have here Paul instructing Timothy to once again preach the word, that we might do so, thy word, and not our own. We pray that thou wilt not only lead the church to preach that word, to believe it itself, to come back to it where it's needed, but also, Father, that many laborers might be called and sent into all the fields that are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few, that we might have that again as it has been in the past. We pray for thy blessing on the church, that it will teach rightly to individuals, to homes, to itself as the church, that we will repent and become one, as thou didst pray, Lord Jesus, that they might be one, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We pray that we might take those words seriously and know that thy prayer has given in a perfect prayer and a perfect reason. And we believe, Lord Jesus, that thy prayer will be fulfilled. There are many doubters, many deniers that say this will not happen, but we know it can happen. It did happen before the day of Pentecost, when they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. Those who had argued among themselves earlier who was the greatest. And we see much of that today, when none of us are great. All of us are sinful. There is a falling away, and we must realize it. Help us to see the proof of it with so many broken homes and many troubled children in those broken homes and other homes as well. Children taking their own life. Children killing one another. And all these things, Father, we wonder, and we blame other ways and things. But help us to see ourselves, first of all, individually, in the church, and in the home. Then, Father, only can we be a salt in the nation and in the world. And we pray that that might take place. We pray that we might learn from Paul's words to Timothy. And we know that Timothy was a faithful witness. And we pray that we might have more of such again today. We pray, Father, also giving thanks for the temporal blessings that we have in food, raiment, homes, the blessing in weather. We also pray for those that do not have these blessings, that are in hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, the victims of the different kinds of elements in nature, fire, wind, flood, earthquakes, and volcanoes. We pray for those in war, the terrible calamities that it brings, the awfulness of it. We pray that those who are guilty may see the lie that brings lies, brings wars, and especially, Father, the lie that is bringing so much war and suffering today throughout the Arab nations and spreading throughout other nations as well. We ask, Father, for that blessing on the gospel in every nation, that it may bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And again, for the temporal needs, for those in sickness, those in older age, we pray for the schools, we pray for the police, that they will be protected, recognized rightly. We pray for other needs there are, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look once again at what Paul wrote to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine." And then the sad words, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables, half-truths, stories that have some truth in it. You remember when we were children in school, we would have these stories of knights, and there were the knights. They were actually persons in history. But then they would have stories of knights fighting dragons. Then it became a fable, an imagination, an adding to. That's what Paul is warning here when he said that they will turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables. Some time ago, I was given a CD that had on it fables, a little bit of truth of this person, and then just, I suppose you could say in one way, silly things, foolish things, knit together, but it was wicked things. It was a fable. It was not taking the Word of God serious, and it was taking things from the Word of God, from history of the Word, people sometimes and things, but making foolish ways out of it, fables. Paul talks about old wives' fables. When Paul writes to Titus after Timothy, he said, Jewish fables, all things that have the word in part from God, but then in part man's imagination. And as it was with that particular message that I was given, I suppose they thought they'd get the people's interest, but for those that wanted truth, it ought to bring out the people's disgust. It's not something to pray for, to be blessed. It's man's philosophy, man's way of being supposedly wiser than God. But we are not. We need to recognize the lack of our wisdom. And as God tells us through the pen of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. If we come in humility, asking in a true need, knowing it, God will give it. He'll give it through and because of Christ. And here Timothy had received it. And now Paul was telling him, I charge thee therefore before God. Paul was before God. Timothy was before God. And you and I are before that same God. And the Lord Jesus Christ. The one, as Paul states here, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Some of it is being done. We read, as appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. When we think of the rich man and Lazarus, we can think of judgment as already had fallen on that rich man. He lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Terrible way. He knew then that it was wrong. He wanted his brothers to be warned here on earth. There was a measure of judgment taught in that story that Christ gave. Other places we read of all being gathered together before God on that great and glorious throne. That will take place. We don't need to describe it. We just need to prepare for it. In a way, we can describe it as a further description of God and all his glory. As we end the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that will be part of it. But there's enough now that we ought to think about to prepare for that time in the future. And that is here. For some of us, we won't be able to do what Timothy did, preach the word, but probably everyone can pray that that word will be preached and will be heard. Also, everyone can and should listen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have you heard that word? Has it brought you into the way of faith? as we pointed out last week, the last part of the earlier chapter, chapter 3, verse 15, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Every one of us has to come to see we are guilty before God. Every one of us has to come to see that there's no salvation except through another, God's Son. Faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's also from Christ Jesus, both. He's the author and the finisher of our faith as well as the object. And we can all, who have had the blessing of hearing the word, believe it. We're called to believe the gospel. We are promised, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Very likely some in the audience that have not heard the whole word or have heard it and have not yet believed it. Every day there are the young growing into youth that can hear and begin to believe. Some earlier, some later. I've read of it as early as 4 years old. Even some younger than that. One who was sick and dying, when her mother asked how she would come to Christ, said, I think he will bring me himself. She had a greater faith and a more right faith than a whole lot of people that even come to say that God is powerless unless you let him. You have to bring yourself. It is as if he cannot. He can. And he can make his people willing in the day of his power. But here, we need to pray for this to take place more and more. There is a lack of it. Verse 3 again of this fourth chapter, 2 Timothy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If that's there, then there's little hope to hear rightly, to believe the truth, and to be saved. The Lord Jesus gave strong warning and teaching. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. That is something to be trembling at for myself. It's not just an objective thing. We are guilty if we don't give the right message. But not only guilty for those that must hear, ourselves as well. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Those that will not preach like Timothy was called to do. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. One word, God's word, every part of it. Earlier, Paul had said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect. Christ says, be ye perfect. Paul said, that I may present every man perfect before God. That's the goal. Sadly, we can't say we've become that way. But we should desire that, as Paul did himself, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, I have not yet attained to that for which I have been apprehended. But he wanted more of Christ so he could come closer to being perfect. Perfect in Christ Jesus. There is the way of the parable that says the good ground brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. If it's only 30, it's far from perfect. If it's 60, it's just a little over half of what it should be. only when it's 100-fold is it perfect. I always believe that very possibly only those who die for the faith have attained to that perfection. They have fully denied themselves, taken up their cross, and followed Christ, and then are dying for it, and oft times showing their thankfulness, giving praise to God, wanting others to hear and fear, singing in their misery, suffering, bodily suffering. That is perfection. That is doing it right. Paul here says the word of God is for that. Those that have fully believed it and will not deny any part of it and have suffered and died for it. Many, sadly, at the time of the Reformation, died for their faith, died at the hands of others in the church. And we should think about that. We should preach the word in such a way that we would be thinking not only with Paul here and Timothy, but with Daniel, who said in prayer, "We and our fathers have sinned." He said, "To us belongeth confusion of face as it is this day." If we aren't thinking in that way, then we are very possibly lukewarm. We are very possibly careless when sound doctrine is not endured, when there are fables, when there are those who would rather listen to fables and jokes than true doctrine that could bring us to trembling, bring us to tears, and then bring us to a right joy and thankfulness. Paul himself did it rightly when he took leave of the church at Ephesus, visiting them for the last time. He said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." Two things: the public preaching. When we think of the Puritans, they often put the premium on preaching. But Paul had a fuller measure of the right way, and from house to house. Possibly they did it too. I'm not sure. But I know that preaching is emphasized much with the Puritans, and it should be. There should be the preaching of the word, but there should also be from house to house, personally, face to face. What is your relationship with God? Have you had that blessing that we sang about? "For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday light." The third stanza, "We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above have set us his Son to save us and show us that God is love." And show us that God is love. Yes, there's also other things taught of God. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said, "Our God is a consuming fire." And we read throughout Scripture that he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. These things should be not only preached and believed, but talked about, as Paul here evidently did when he went from house to house. And then he said with it, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That's doing what he's telling Timothy to do. Preach the word. The word includes repentance toward God and faith toward Christ, and other things as well, when he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and then thankfully with it, instruction in righteousness. If we had only reproof and correction, we'd still be hopeless. We would probably hear it, possibly be ashamed, might even make some promises. But if there isn't the instruction in righteousness as God's righteousness, which is in Christ, there would be no hope. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. He can tell us to be righteous, but we won't be that. Only in him. First of all, the righteousness that pays for our sin and by which we can have forgiveness, and then the righteousness that changes us. As I referred to it a few moments ago, when Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection took place after he died and shed his blood. Paul wanted that power. God raising him from the dead can, through and because of Christ, raise us up from our sinful ways. And that is what this whole story here is about. We have a story to tell the nations. The last verse again of the third chapter, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Forgiveness of sins, and told all that we need here, that we might enter into the way of good works, enter into the way of faith in Christ, in sanctification, as well as in justification. Along with it, to recognize where we are, the falling away that's taking place. It has taken place with the Jews. We have an example in them. When Paul left them, when he was in prison in Rome, he met with the Jews. He said, after the meeting with them, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Paul says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. We have heard it. The Gentiles have heard it. But we are now in that time that we are turning away our ears from the truth as the Jews did. We will both be in that terrible place. We will be with them and are fast hastening toward that way. We need to pray that God will again give the Jews the fullness. Their falling away was a blessing to the Gentiles. Now we need the fullness of them to have again our blessing. But we have no excuse. We have the Word of God. Have you heard it preached? Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And as we've said earlier, there is the gospel to be believed and to be saved by it, the gospel of Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise